Welcome, if you're just joining us live, good to see you. Take off these specs so I can see what I'm reading. Let's pray, shall we? Pray that we'll understand these seeds we're about to plant. Hallelujah. Father, I do thank you that we are here this morning. Thank you that we've been able to come together and sing our praises to you, Father, for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that we can gather around this word and plant some seeds. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, the incorruptible seed, literally breathed from you, written by men, but inspired and breathed from you. So we thank you for that. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant into the ground of our hearts. I speak out now, understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding. So that the seeds are not stolen by the enemy. Understanding so his seeds will stay and germinate and grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not in 1 Thessalonians today. Yeah, you can always count on your twins to get you, Michelle. Yeah, so, don't turn to 1 Thessalonians. We're not going there today. I'm kind of summarizing a little bit of what I did last week, but also just sharing my thoughts on what I've been pondering about this week, about one of the topics that I mentioned last time. I am going to give you today the inclusivity, diversity, and equality policy of the Bible. There you go. That's impressive, isn't it? You're glad you came now, Charlie, didn't you? The inclusiveness, diversity and equality policy. We're going all highbrow up management. Or, you know, we're going to be doing, everybody's doing this. Everybody's got an inclusive policy. Everybody's got an equality policy. Everybody's got a diversity policy. But you know where it started? Started in the Word of God. That's what I spoke about last week. That word, whosoever. Whosoever. So I just want to share a few thoughts on that this morning, cover some old ground, cover some stuff that I haven't taught on for a while that's some of my favourite teaching, but talk about this, how inclusive and how diverse the people are that's in the kingdom, and also the equality that we'll have in there. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. So turn first to Romans 10, where we came out of last week. I'm loving working my way through 1 Thessalonians, but I'm also loving these kind of little rabbit trails where we go off. It also just extends the series. That's us into week 16, and we're not even finished the second chapter. Brilliant. What did I say? Romans 10. Thank you. Where are we going to read from? 10, 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not. I should have taken my big Bible. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's this first part of this policy, inclusiveness. This, how inclusive the gospel is covered by that word whosoever. And if you do a search for whosoever on any biblical Bible commentary, you'll find hundreds of them. It's one of Jesus' favorite words. When you get it up on your screen, there's loads of red there. He uses it all the time. Whosoever this, whosoever that, whosoever the next. One of Jesus' favorite words. And it's used. How many? Oh, no, it's all right. No, yeah, it's okay. No. Nunzi just offered me her phone with big bold script on it. Thanks, darling. I'll be fine with this. Whosoever. Great meaning in the Greek means all, any, every, the whole. That there's no kind of way of getting out with the Greek on this. Whosoever, it's everybody. But this is, look at everybody who wants to, whosoever believes, whosoever speaks out, whosoever goes there, whosoever stops this. There's always a corresponding action. But it's not works, because it's always about being in faith and believing. So, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. No shame for us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, there's that little addition to whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon his name. Whosoever shall shout out to the Lord. Whosoever will call to him shall be saved. Whosoever, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a Jew or a Greek. Now, when it says Jew or Greek, that means everybody. When it says Jew or Gentile, that's it. There's no others in the word, really. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. If you're a Jew or Gentile, you're part of the human race, and you cannot exclude yourself. It's not like Jews, Gentiles, and Scotsmen. It's not. Most of the Scotsmen are Gentiles, by the way, just in case you were thinking. But, you know, there's no other or. And it's black and white. You know, it's what I've spoken about so many times. You're saved, you're not saved. You're righteous, you're not righteous. You're holy, you're not holy. You're a sinner, you're not a sinner. It's either or. But this word, whosoever, it's got a marvelous connotation. I tried to find it, but I couldn't. I preached on it about 2 or 3 years ago. Remember, you are a whosoever. How long ago was that? I can't remember. Was that a series or just a one-off? I can't remember. But you are a whosoever. Every single one of us is a whosoever. Everybody in the cosmos, everybody in the whole world is a whosoever. But we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. And the trouble is, we don't get the full understanding of that word, whosoever, and we exclude ourselves. We exclude ourselves. You know, Carl's not here, so I can say this. You know what? Yeah. Some of us might say, well, I know I kicked a dog this morning. I know I kick dogs. I don't, actually. Every time I see a dog, No, I don't. I don't kick dogs. But we know the bad things that we've done, and we tend to exclude ourselves. We don't look on ourselves as whosoever. We can read the scripture and say, yeah, isn't it marvelous that God heals? But I wonder if he will heal me. Some people think that. Yeah, I think it's marvelous that God prospers people. But why would he prosper me? You know, I've wasted all that money in the past. I've taken things from my parents and just wasted them. You know, God's not going to want somebody like that back, is he? What about the prodigal son? Or I prefer to call that account the prodigal's father. He'd done so many bad things in his life, but he's still a whosoever. Whosoever should get out of that pigsty and go back to the Lord will be blessed. We'll get fatted calves. Hallelujah. You know, you can keep your rings and your robes and your sandals. I love the fatted calf. Thank you very much. Yeah, but he's a whosoever. Whosoever goes to the Father. Whosoever goes back to the Father. Gets everything. Everybody has that opportunity. Everybody has the chance to be that whosoever. Well, no. I've done this, I've done that. I'm this kind of person. I don't think probably people like me should be included. And then there's the other edge of the coin, side of the coin, when people say, well, I don't think they should be included. That's even worse, excluding others from being whosoevers. But who can be a whosoever? Who can be a whosoever? Turn to John 3. Turn to John 3. John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, and then we have a great long spiel. Jesus relating to this guy. You can be born again. We need to be born again. And he's kind of implying, Nicodemus, you can be born again. And then we get to John 3:16 and all that. But who was Nicodemus? He was the highest of the high. He was the main man. He was boss. He was a Pharisee. Not just any old Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. Highest of the high in the society of the day. No, not many, I was going to say nobody. Not many people higher than Nicodemus. He'd be rich, powerful, lots of authority vested in him, do whatever he wants. You know, what I would probably class some of the books I'm reading just now about capitalism and all that, he's the 1% elite that these books are writing about. He's the main man. And Jesus welcomes him. Now, I'm not sure what happens, but he had the opportunity. He was a whosoever. He had the opportunity. He came to Jesus. Jesus spoke to him. Jesus related to him. Jesus didn't say, sorry, Nicodemus, there are certain groups that I'm here for, and the elite, the super rich, are not included. Did he say that? No, is the correct answer. No, of course he didn't. He was included. He was a whosoever. He had the chance. He had to make the decision himself, but he had the chance. And then we go to John 4. And one of my favorite verses in the whole scripture. And he must needs go through Samaria. No, he didn't. He didn't have to go through Samaria. He was actually going on a detour if he went there. And Jesus was a good Jewish boy, rabbi. Shouldn't have been anywhere near that place. Shouldn't have gone. Why did Jesus go to Samaria? Why had he to go to Samaria? He had somebody to meet. Now, he just met Nicodemus. Next person he met was a Samaritan woman at the well. That's no coincidence. There's no coincidences in the Bible. You know, when God wrote this or inspired the writer to write this, he knew exactly what he was doing, knew exactly who he was talking about. And these two are there for a purpose. They're there to contrast. So who did he meet at the well? There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And she came late in the day when it was hot. She was ashamed. She didn't want to be near any of the other women. Why? Because they hated her, detested her, gossiped about her, spoke about her, avoided her, stunned her. Why? Because she was a naughty woman. She was a naughty lady. I don't know how many husbands she had. The man she was at the moment wasn't her husband. And everybody knew that. And she was full of shame, full of guilt. And the people were horrible to her. Now, it doesn't explicitly say that, but that's my interpretation. Why would she not go and get water when it's cool like everybody else? Why would she wait until the middle of the day and go and get it when it's too hot? Because there was nobody else there. And then who turns up? Jesus, because he had needs to go through Samaria. He needs to go and meet everybody. He needs to go through Samaria. And we see the story, we know the story. She hears about Jesus. And then she's no longer this shamed woman. She's now a super duper evangelist who runs into town, runs to people to tell them, you need to come see this guy. But what was she compared to Nicodemus? Nicodemus was the elite. Nicodemus was the top 1%. He was rich. He was powerful. The Samaritan fornicating woman was a nothing. Nobody. The lowest of the low. And all the descriptors there tell us that. You know, it was bad enough being a Samaritan, bad enough being a fornicator, bad enough being a woman. They are all, in that culture, they are all markers of how low she was. I mean, this is the... That's putting the boot in. Talking about this dear lady, the writer is really putting the boot in. One, she was a woman. Sorry, lady, I've got nothing against you. It's great that we have all this. Sorry? Where you are? But in the context of the day and when this was written, I'm sorry, you were nobodies. Nobodies in that culture. That's why the Bible is so counterculture. Because there's female ministers in the word. That's, wow. That is still controversial. I mean, goodness sake, it's still controversial now in some places. Heaven forbid. But back then, to have a husband and wife team running a church could only happen in Christianity. Because it's so counterculture. Because the culture then, you couldn't own anything. You were owned. And then when it was time for you to get married, fathers would pass their daughters off to the men. And if they want to get rid of you, I divorce you. That's it. Now you're gone. Out. Men had all the power. Women had that. Women were nobodies. And she was also a Samaritan. The Jews hated them. They were... I was going to say, Robbie's here. I won't say the word I was going to say. They were like illegitimate Jews. They weren't proper Jews. And they were even worse than Gentiles. I mean, the Gentiles were bad enough. Goodness sake, I'm going to share the world with the Gentiles. But these sort of way along half Jews. They're worse than Gentiles. So she's a woman, she's a Samaritan, and she's a sinner. Let's be honest, that's what they're saying here. She's a naughty lady. Lowest of the low. Scum of the earth, would I say? I don't like saying that, but that's an expression that you could probably use. Lowest of the low. Jesus came to see her. Jesus entered into relationship with her. I was like, I'm sorry, dear, I can't speak to you. Man, just imagine what the disciples thought when they were coming back and seeing Jesus speaking to that. That's the kind of words that they used. What are you doing speaking to that? Like, I don't know, when was it, the day before or whenever, I don't know, chronology. The last person I'm speaking to was like the Prime Minister. It's like us speaking to Prime Minister 1 minute and a homeless down and out illegal immigrant the next and treating them exactly the same. How often do people do that? But we're talking about Jesus here. Jesus came for every. Jesus was inclusive. John 3 and 4 shows us that. From the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, from that wall to that wall, and everybody in between. You're no higher than Nicodemus. You're no lower than the dear Samaritan lady at the well. And that's why the Bible was written that way. That's why the Gospel of John is written like that. Jesus came and related to the highest of the high and the lowest of the low. And he loved everybody in that range. And that's mankind. That's humanity. That's a whosoever. You can't get out of it. Highest of the high and the lowest of the low. That's how inclusive this this gospel is. I lost my place on John 3 there. But John 3 uses whosoever's as well. Let's go back to see what he said to Nicodemus. We've seen he relates to the highest of the high. We've seen he relates to the lowest of the low. What's he saying? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's John 3:15. Whosoever. The top 1% elite. If you believe. The lowest of the low. If you believe. You shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that certain sections of society believe in him should not perish. That's not what it says. It's that word whosoever again. But have everlasting life. For God sent not his world Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That word world is cosmos. It means the whole universe and world and everybody in it. It's got that sense of humanity. It's not as in cosmos of just, you know, the planets and everything. It's humanity. It's another part of his inclusion policy. But there is whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just in case you didn't get it the first time. You know, the Lord likes repetition. There it is. Whosoever. Whether you're Nicodemus or the woman at the well or any member of society in between. Whosoever. Look at 2 Peter 3:19. Peter 3:9 even. 2 Peter 3:9. There isn't a 2 Peter 3:19. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that how many should come to repentance? All. What does all mean, Eveline? All. Thank you. All means all. The Greek actually means to the exclusion of nothing. But it means all. Here's this inclusiveness again. The Lord's not lazy. The Lord's not thinking about us. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He wants everyone to be saved. That is his wish. Now, it kind of blows the predestination doctrine out of the water, because we know not everyone's saved. Jesus talks about the narrow road, the wide road, the narrow gate, the wide gate. Not everyone is going to have a super-duper eternity, is what the word says, in my opinion. But that's what the Lord wants for everyone. That's his inclusion policy. Everyone's included. And of course, he's provided for it through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everyone is included. But the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, for whatever reason, gave us free will. And we are not living in a clockwork universe where he started it and he's got everything planned. You know, it started before time. God did not plan that at 11:43, as Vic was looking up to that thing, he'd put his hand down, pick up a cup and have a drink. He didn't. I decided to do that because I've got free will. You know, but so people have to make a choice. That's why I was talking about the sermon last week. It was so important. How can people believe if they don't hear? How can they hear if they don't have somebody speaking to them? That's not quite what the verse says, but it's almost that. That's why it's so important for us to tell people about Jesus, because that could be the start of their journey to their salvation, to their faith. People need to have that choice. People need to make that decision. Because the provision's there. Look at 1 John 2, verse 2. On the same page, if you've got a Bible like mine. Talking about Jesus. And he is a propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah! That's what a lot of churches say. He's a propitiation for our sins. But it's more than that. And not our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world, the whole cosmos, and everybody in it. See, he's got this inclusion policy, and he's provided for the fulfillment of that inclusion policy. If God was to be audited, he's got the policy in place, and he's got the procedures for doing it. I like that, Lee. Yeah? I just came up with that. I just thought of that. It's really good. It's the policy's there. He's got the procedures to do it. Jesus has done his perfectly perfect finished work. He's paid for all our sins. Ephesians 1:7 says we've been forgiven. Colossians 1:14 says we've been forgiven. Now that means everybody, the whole cosmos has been forgiven. The whole cosmos has been reconciled. God's reconciled himself to the whole cosmos. It says that in 2 Corinthians 5:18 or 19. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:20? We have to reconcile ourselves to God. We have to make the decision. And I'm looking around you, and I'm assuming you all have. There's people out there that haven't. There's people out there that don't know they've been forgiven. There's people out there that don't think they've been forgiven. It doesn't matter what they think. They have been. They're part of this inclusion policy. They're part of the plan of redemption. Jesus didn't forget about any sins. Didn't forget about any of our sins. Didn't forget about any of the sins of the people out there. Another part of his inclusion policy. It's all been done. Finished. No more blood to flow. He was coming back. He's nay going on a cross. Now, if you think you've got someone else that you need to be forgiven for, I'm sorry that you think like that. But you're wrong. You've got nothing to be forgiven for. I said this once in a sermon, and somebody got a little bit upset about it. It got taken out of context. So I said, what do you have to do to have a sin forgiven? Commit it. Now, I'm not encouraging you to commit sin. But if you do commit sin, you can say to yourself instantly, silly, but you know what? I've been forgiven. Now, if you see that as, whoa, fantastic, I can do that again. You've got the wrong end of the stick. But there's that inclusion policy. He's dealt with everybody's sin. You know, Isaiah 53, he took everybody's griefs, everybody's sorrows, everybody's iniquities on him on the cross. It's all been done. We are not that special in a sense that Jesus wasn't powerful enough to deal with all our sin. You know, there's none of us that special. If you're holding something against yourself, was that, I was thinking that Bob Newhart thing. Stop it. You know, I can't explain it any other way. You know, if you're not forgiving yourselves, stop it. Now, I know I'm probably sounding a little bit flippant and it's not that easy. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You know, we've all done stupid things. Some of us may have done horrendous things. I don't want to look at anybody in particular at that point, but some of us may have done some awful things. Probably have a mirror up there at the moment. But everything that we've done has been forgiven. It's all part of that policy, that plan of redemption. It's all been dealt with, guys. And you are not that special, that your sin is so great that it's not. But Vic, you don't know. I don't know. I don't know everything you've done. You don't know everything I've done. But I know my Bible. And we've been forgiven for everything. Everything. We had to. It's logical. Jesus only went on the cross once. Hebrews 10, the once chapter. He did it once for all sin, for all time, for all men. So that's the inclusion. That's the inclusion policy. John 3:16. We all know that. That's 1 John 3:16, Vic. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is really simple. Now, Jesus can only say that because he knows what's coming. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to deal with sin. And he knows that then, when we believe on him, we move from that status of forgiveness to the status of saint, holy, pure, perfect, righteous. But we've got to make that decision. That's why it says, whosoever believeth, whosoever shall call on the name, whosoever does this. But it's always about faith. It's never about works. It's not whosoever tithes. It's not whosoever prays. Whosoever doesn't kick dogs. My other old favourite. Whosoever helps old ladies across the street. You know, that's not what saves you. It's not actions, it's not deeds, it's not works. It's faith in his inclusive work. And we're all part of that. And then once we're in, then comes this diversity and equality policy. But it's slightly different from the normal diversity and equality, because it's all the diversity disappears, whatever you are, and we're all equal. That's what's so great about being in the kingdom. Go to Galatians 3. I'll read from 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So whosoever's come to faith in Jesus, remember, that's why it's so important that we teach people about the words about Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by words about Jesus Christ. So it's all about him. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now that's baptism as in when you're saved, not as in baptism when you're put under water. As soon as you're saved, you're into Christ, you put on Christ, and then, get it, this is the diversity and equality. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, that's fantastic. Now, I'm looking around, we have a bit of diversity in here today. Just a little bit. I told you last week I have to do a diversity policy and equality policy and that for the mechanics. And I have to do an audit of how diverse our board is. And it's like, oh, like it's like 15 white men kind of thing. So we're not very diverse. Now we've got a little bit of diversity around here. But you know what, guys, we can forget about that. Forget about that kind of diversity, because that's not important in the kingdom. Because it doesn't matter who or what you are, we're one in Christ Jesus. We're all the same. Now, in this context, they were talking about, in the culture of the day, they were talking about Jews and Greeks, so that's race. They are talking about bond or free, that's economic status. And they're talking about male and female, so that's gender. So on the time this was written, once you're in the kingdom, there should be no cliques, no wee groupies, no can't sit over there because that's where they sit and all this nonsense. It doesn't matter if you're Scottish, English, Welsh, Irish, Pakistani, South African, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. Now, the word says we're all rich. Some of us haven't manifested it yet. But we're all getting there. But in terms of economic status, you know, you're a managing director. I don't want to say a job. I don't want to rank it, but If you're one of the workers that works for this managing director, you're in church, you're all the same. I'm a volunteer, entry level, there we go. So if you're managing director or entry level, they're politically correct. Doesn't matter. There's no seats in the church for management and workers, rich, poor. That's not or shouldn't be an issue. And anyone, it can still be an issue sometimes, male and female. There's no difference. Now, we have different roles, we have different strengths, you know, different characters. Am I still allowed to say that? You know, is it politically correct for me to say that, that ladies are far more loving and caring, compassionate than us guys? I won't say what I think we are better at than you, because I'm not going to say that. But, you know, we're different. We're different strengths. But in the eyes of God and in the church, we're exactly the same. Oh, my God, we're supposed to submit to husbands. Read the verse before it, where it says, we all submit one to another. Well, you might not think it, but there are sometimes I submit to Nunzi. It's actually most of the time, Oh. Like right now. I'm the pastor. I run this place. Except when Nunzi's leading worship. I submit to Nunzi then. So, why did I say that? Why did I dig that hole? We're all the same, men and women. When you read about verses like wives submit to your husbands, read it in context, read it in the culture of the day, read the verse before, it talks about everyone submitting to everyone else, you know, that fluidity of submission that I teach about. Oh, there's an example, by the way. There are times when wives submit to husbands. It's an example. But everybody needs to submit to everyone else at times. You know, when Sean stands up or somebody else stands up to share, they're speaking, the whole church is in submission to them at that point. So there's this fluidity. So what am I trying to say about that? We're all equal. There's no difference in race or nationality or creed. There's no difference in economic strength or richness or poverty, and there's no difference in terms of your gender or your sex. That's equality. Everyone is the same in the eyes of the Lord. Because you see, when the Lord looks at us, he doesn't see this magnificent specimen standing in front of you. He sees my spirit. And see, when he looks at you, Lord, he sees, doesn't see all these magnificent specimens, the other side of the camera, guys. He sees your spirits. And you know what? It is. And they're the same. We're all perfect. Actually, when he looks at our spirit, he sees the perfection of Jesus. Because when we're born again, we are in him. And God looks at us in the spirit and sees his perfection, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness. But we are that. We're all his good stuff. So we're all equal. No one is any higher, no one is any more important than anyone else in the kingdom. And if people think like that, there's something wrong there. I remember the first time I went to an Andrew Womack's conference. It took me ages to listen to the man. You know, for a start, I couldn't stand his accent. Secondly, I didn't need any American coming over here and telling me what to think. Right? Again. And I used to, Nunsy loved him, and oh, we get this free and we get that free. And I remember saying to Nunsy, and I've shared this with one of their board members of the Andrew Womack Ministries, that Andrew Womack's just like a drug dealer. He gives you it free, and then once you're hooked, he'll start selling it to you. I actually said that. I'm you know, and John Donnelly actually told them, but never mind. So I had this attitude, bad attitude, but his teaching was amazing. So I went to the conference kind of a bit wary about what this is going to be. Sorry? A little bit cynical. Went at this big hotel, went into the queue to check in, and here's Andrew Womack carrying people's cases up the stairs. His conference, we paid to go and hear him speaking. The main speaker in the conference carrying people's cases to their rooms. No more important than anyone else. Just there to serve. How can I serve today? Can I take your cases up for you? Now, the cynical part of me had kind of just left. You know, I could have thought, oh, he's just doing that for show. You know, and he went, but no, he came back and he got the next person's cases. Took him up and says, what? No more important than the guys setting out the chairs. No more important than the guys doing the sounds. No more important than us queuing up to get in and check in. And see, everybody in the kingdom is exactly the same. Everybody in the kingdom is as important as everyone else. Don't think yourself as any lower. You're not a super duper pastor and teacher like what I am. You know, and don't think anything less of me because my grammar's not great. You know, don't compare yourselves. You're all equal. You're all as important. Now, some of you, there's the scripture, I can't remember where it is, about different parts of the body. And you're all important. Every part of the body is just as important as everything else. And the body, if there's something in the body not working, the whole body suffers. Now, you might think of yourself, well, I don't know. I just think of myself maybe as the pinky of the body. And that's just not much, not important at all. You know what, guys? See, when I've got an itchy lug, just the pinky pinky is the only thing that can that'll do it. And it becomes the most important part of the body. I really should preach with notes. This is just going, this is nonsense. There's just nothing. At that moment in time, that pinky is the most important part of the body. Guys, you don't know what you're going to do for the body. You're as important as Joseph Prince, Andrew Womack, Billy Graham, the Pope, however you want to rank it. You're equal to them. Just as good as them. Just as bad as them. Just the same. Because you see, there's no difference in economic classes. There's no difference in race. There's no difference in gender. We're all in Christ Jesus. We're all the same. Now, yes, there's lots of diversity in the church. If you look out and you see men, women, different races, different creeds, different economic statuses, yes, different jobs. Yeah, you see that in the physical. But in the spiritual, there is no diversity in the spiritual. In the spiritual, we're all what he's given us, what he's made us. We're his righteousness, we're his goodness. We've got his healing, we've got his prosperity. And we're all exactly the same. We are all equals. Now, I get it in churches, there's hierarchies and all that. People do this, people do that. But being at the top is no more as important as being anywhere else. That's what the word says. That's what it should be. You're all as important in this context. You're all as important as me. You're all as important as Nunzi. Every single one of you. Why? Because you were a whosoever, and you've come to faith, and you're now in Christ, and you're an equal. I would go so far to say in the church, there's no such thing. In the spiritual, there's no such thing as diversity. No such thing as diversity in the church. We are all equal. We're all the same. We're all as important as you say. You may well be the pinky. But there's going to come a time when there's going to be an itchy lug. And you will be important. I said that my ear got really itchy. The power of suggestion. Guys, we need to start realizing that the gospel's for everyone. And once we're in that, we're all equal. We're all as important. There's no Greek or Jew, no bond or free, no male or female. We're just all one in Christ Jesus. And that's important. Amen.